Hey, Jake.
Hey, Ben.
How's things going, mate?
Things are good.
I have a story for you.
Story time.
Just to preface it, it will, whilst I'm saying it, will sound a bit like an actual constructed joke. I'm telling you, it is 100% true, just off the bat. It sounds like one of those, you know, 2 blokes walking in a bar, that sort of thing. But it's not. It's absolutely 100% true. So you know my mate Aaron, who you're also friends with.
Yeah, the big fella.
He's the for those at home, he's the younger brother of Richmond defender Dylan Grimes, and that's not just a name drop. That is actually a part of the story. But it is also the truth. He's the younger brother of Richmond defender Dylan Grimes. He was telling me this story the other day, right? He was at the doctor's just during the week, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me telling this, but...
we hope anyway.
Well, it's too good not to, and I've already begun. So, Aaron, if you're listening and you have beef with it, I'll reach out to you before this, and I'll blank out your name because it could be one of the other 8 brothers you've got. So he's at the doctor's, and he's just getting some blood work done, like nothing serious or anything like that. And the doctor did a few tests and whatnot, and the doctor goes to him, all right, I need you to stand up and turn around. And Aaron's thinking, I'm not really here for that. He goes, no, I need you to stand up and turn around. And obviously, being doctor's orders, he gets up and he turns around. And the doctor, Aaron's just thinking the whole time, what the hell is this all about? And the doctor gives him a big shove in the back, right in the back. And then Aaron turns around. And he goes, what are you doing? And the doctor looks at him and he goes, I'm just making sure not all Grimes are divers. No word of a lie.
Bullshit.
No word of a lie. Big Collingwood supporter. It turns out it is the family doctor too. So it's sort of like one of those sort of, tongue in cheek. But he's giving him a shove and he said, I'm just making sure not all Grimes are divers. I just thought that was...
It's brave doctoring that, isn't it?
It is brave, brave doctoring, but that's what you want in a doctor. Don't you? You don't want someone sitting on the fence. You want someone who's brave enough to do the big things.
Who's going
to
make the big calls and shove you in the back if your brother's reputation.
But I must admit, we continued to talk after that, and it turned out that it was actually the same family doctor I had growing up, and it was just one of those sort of just mad coincidences that we were just like, what the hell? And then I remembered the last, because I'm living in that area any longer, so I've moved on for a few years, but the last time I saw that doctor, I was about 17 years old, Jake.
And he pushed you in the back.
No, he didn't. I wish it was that easy, but I'm again not sure if I probably should even be saying this, but I when I was a bit younger, I had a twisted testicle when I was 17 years old. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. So
it makes me feel all jittery just thinking.
It does. A lot of boys think that when you start talking about this sort of stuff, and it's the most excruciating pain in the world. But it was the reason I bring it up though, because that was also quite a funny story with the same doctor. We went in for a couple of tests, and obviously he needs to do whatever he needs to do to make sure he ticks off all the other everything else. So we've done a few, physical tests and that sort of stuff, and they asked me a few questions. And then at the end he goes, oh, by the way, are you sexually active? And to be honest with you, Jake, I wasn't yet at the time. I was a bit of a late bloomer. But
that's okay. Preaching to the converted.
But I just wasn't expecting it. And at the time I thought, oh, I can't let him know that I'm, virgin. So I said, oh, I am, but it's been a while though, we can rule that out, and let's never mention it again. But he goes,
oh. did you have a parent or guardian with you at the time? Or you...
No, just me. Mum was, I believe, in the waiting room. That's where we were going there.
Yeah,
I would have said yes and given Mum a high five. That would have worked out.
Oh my God, Ben's a loser.
But he's like, oh, no, I need to know just how long ago was it? And Jake, let me tell you, I can't lie. I'm not a good liar. I'd already lied once, and I was like, oh yeah, it was a while ago,
a girl I always go down to Anglesey for summer holidays. I didn't actually get her name,
pretty much. And then he's like I need to know. And then I'm like, in my head I'm like, the jig's up, you've already just you can't follow through with this. And then I owned up. I'm like, oh, actually, I'm not. I haven't been. And he's like, and I was just thinking he was kind of he's going to start laughing or something. He's just like, oh, okay, cool. Just whew, dodged it.
That's always the thought with doctors, isn't that like they must just hear so much nonsense, like that they would just be able to see straight through anyway. And it's
yeah
like I mean, you always like you think of how many patients they see per day, which then makes it per week, per month, per year, and it's like.
It's just
and everyone going in is like, well, I can't tell them this or I don't want to tell them that. And they're like,
yeah,
they already know before you know most of the time. And in your case, he already knew.
Yeah, he looked right in my eyes and he knew virgin 100%.
Do you reckon he had it stamped on your file?
Oh, I could imagine a doctor having like the urgent stamp, all the other like copy stamp. And virgin, just a third one, virgin stamp. Running out of ink on that virgin stamp.
I want to have a little bit of. I want to have a little bit of a chat to your mum, Ms. Franzini. Ben's actually still a virgin, so you actually raised the dork. He's 17. What a loser!
Mum, maybe walk home after that with a twisted testicle.
How's the testicle?
It's interesting because it's fine, but it is still a bit ginger from just scar tissue sort of,
Untwisting.
Yeah, it was unique. It was actually one testicle that twisted, which, I found out from the hospital because it's untwisted. We shouldn't even be getting into this, but it untwisted and then actually, which was good news, but they don't normally do that. And then twisted again, probably 6 months later. And I actually had to get an operation on it. At the hospital, and it's very important. It's a very, very, very important thing. I remember walking into the emergency room, and it was pretty full. It was like a Monday morning, and they're like, "Okay, what's your issue?" And I've said, "I think I've twisted a testicle." Like I was literally like in tears. It was like the worst pain ever. And looking everywhere else, people broken legs, all that sort of stuff. They're all waiting. And as soon as I said twisted testicle, she goes, "Oh, right this way." Like it's. A matter of like you need to get it operated on within a couple of hours, otherwise, you could have some other health problems down the track.
Well, hey Ben, I'm glad your testicular health is really strong at the moment.
Thank you.
Long may it continue.
Thank you. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. Just recording on a Sunday. Oh, we'd normally do Tuesday. Oh, but there's less games on the weekend.
Sunday Funday, Ben. How good?
Oh no, you got me out of bed for this bloody rubbish.
Yeah, daylight savings. We've lost an hour, but we're making up for it in podcast content.
Did you know you were losing an hour? Because I only found it after I lost the hour. I woke up and it was like 10 to 10, and that's a fair sleep in for me. And I was like, there's no way I've slept, 10 hours.
I was actually dozing watching the soccer in and out. So I was conscious when we lost the hour. Wasn't that a
so you it's gone from 11:59 to 12:59?
Nah, so it's it's 1:59 to 3 AM. Yeah.
You're up late.
Oh, I was asleep and then awake and just had the soccer streaming and then yeah, so that was a bit of a, okay, well, now you're going to bed. It's now 3 a.m. all of a sudden. But I had seen a lot of memes of people who obviously don't pay much attention of like, how about we all agree to not turn our clocks back an hour for daylight saving because 2020's gone long enough. And it's like,
that's
the other hemisphere, you idiots. Like, we're going forward. So
also, grow up.
So pay attention. Grow up, obviously, and stop posting memes to your social media accounts, you bogans.
I like a meme. I'm privy to a meme, but if you truly mean it, it's like, all right, it's a clever joke, but
Yeah, but it doesn't apply to this hemisphere. So
also that means we get more light at night, which I love. I absolutely
daylight saving. You know,
it's the best.
Yeah, the worst thing about daylight saving, and it's not daylight saving's fault, is the hay fever, because it all comes together and hits you literally in the face.
It's one my one knock on spring is the sneezes. The sneezes and the puffy eyes.
Yeah, the eyes are what gets me, because you just want to rub them. You want to rub them. I'll tell you who wanted to rub their eyes, Ben. The people who wanted to rub their eyes were most certainly the Western Bulldogs and the West Coast supporters, because their seasons are over.
They're done.
In some of the most dramatic fashion. And I'm not sure we've seen a finals weekend like we saw for some time. And, gee, it was good to watch.
It was. What did we have? It was Thursday night, was a 16-point margin.
Feels like an age ago. And can I say, obviously I've been hot on the power for a while.
Yes, you have.
And I'm just continuing to prove me correct. I'm a little bit concerned now Richmond's on their side of the draw, but that's okay. Because Richmond's still got to win another game to get there. So if they end up playing St Kilda over there, my lord. Although St Kilda did beat them over there, but I digress. I did my finals bracket on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I tipped Port Adelaide to win the flag by 16 points, win the grand final by 16 points. And then they won that final by 16 points. So I feel like they've already used up their 16-point win.
Oh, you're very superstitious. You can't get that. You can't get the 16 points back.
I mean, I did have them beating Richmond. So that bracket's already fallen apart. In the grand final, which obviously can't happen now. But I think that, I sort of prefaced the 16-point win, but I had it for 3 weeks further down the
It's interesting. I think whilst obviously you want to win that first game, and they played phenomenal on Thursday night to beat the Cats, they would have been pretty spewing that Richmond didn't win against Brisbane, because now they do have to hop across. I mean, Richmond have to win next week as well, which is no walk in the park. St Kilda looked really good on the weekend. But I think, like they don't lose two in a row often, Richmond.
The thing is now, I mean, and I heard Adam Cooney made a very good point about it, is that it's probably better for Port Adelaide in terms of their premiership aspirations. So you sort of think that they would have to beat Richmond at some stage to win the flag. And you'd rather do it at the Adelaide Oval in front of all your fans than going up to the Gabba on grand final night. Although that might have to be against Brisbane now. So it doesn't. Mm. But, I mean, you know, you have to always have to beat the best to win it at some stage. So I think that, you'd probably be more comfortable, I think, if you could choose. I think now it probably makes more sense that you'd want to play Richmond at your home ground and then go up and try Brisbane there. I think that's probably the more comfortable scenario of the two.
Yeah, if you're writing it down on paper, like you're definitely correct, but you'd have your fingers crossed you wouldn't have to play Richmond at all, really.
Yeah, that would be nice because us Port Adelaide believers.
As big as the news was with Brisbane, I felt like there was two sides of the equation. I felt like people over on one side were saying, you know, Brisbane have announced themselves, and I totally agree with that. But then there's also the other side of it, which was, well, Richmond, if they had just done a couple other things correct, they could have won that game as well. So I sit here in the middle, and I think both are correct. I think Brisbane have announced themselves. I believe they've gone into favourites, if you're talking about betting, but Richmond, it's almost like, well, they've still got Tom Lynch to come back, and they don't lose more than they definitely don't lose two in a row very often. So, in my eyes, I think obviously Port can definitely get it done at home again. But I think Friday night's game, Brisbane and Richmond, in my opinion, is the grand final preview.
I think something that we do often is that we get carried away with the qualifying final losers and think that's them done. You know, like, and while it obviously does make it harder, and you know they now play a cutthroat final and those sorts of things. I think that, you know, like Geelong could have easily beaten Port Adelaide Thursday night. Tom Williams kicked 5 points. You know, they seem to. I mean, they were 4 cracking games of footy, and you could make cases for all the losers, and that's how finals really should be. But yeah, I think that you know, we certainly shouldn't be throwing the toys out of the cot for Geelong or the Richmond. I think, you know, like especially St Kilda, I think that, you know, the sort of the accepted sort of premise was that the St Kilda Western Bulldogs final, you know, that sort of, and I mean, maybe it's just my thoughts, but that was sort of their grand final. So you have your own six versus sevens. The winner of that has then, you know, ticked off their season in my, and then the West Coast Collingwood one was sort of more like, well, gee, these two teams are really top four sides. So, and you know, if they hadn't had the injuries and all those sorts of things. So the Eagles like will be spit and chips, obviously, like, it's another a little bit of a waste, I think, from that point of view. And then Collingwood, the Collingwood Geelong game now becomes, you know, have Collingwood, you know, they've gone on the road, they've done the Perth thing. Like, was that their, like, their moment? Was that their, you know, like, and I mean, I don't get that sense from a sort of point of view because, you know, they seem like they're sort of us against the world, they're humming, they've got match winners. So it's going to be interesting to see how that game, because, like, that's the thing now is that all the pressure goes to Geelong and all the pressure goes to Richmond. Those teams sort of have a bit of a free hit, but I mean, I don't think St Kilda can get close to Richmond, but I do think that the Collingwood Geelong game will be one that certainly piques the interest. And knowing Geelong's finals record too, I think over the last few years, I think that they might end up ruining that opportunity that their kicking sort of cost them. And my Lord, some of the umpiring on the weekend, but we won't.
I thought from an overall perspective, the umpiring was fairly reasonable in terms of letting it go a bit, but.
You know, it swings in roundabouts because, you know, you look at the 2018 grand final and it's probably two or three crucial decisions there that went West Coast way. So, I mean, it does, you know, there isn't, it just feels that way sometimes. I think that, you know, especially when your back's against the wall that things aren't going your way, but there was a few, you know, like I still get confused with the umpires, like coaching. You know, like don't tell the players what, I don't think you see that in any other sport around the world. Like the
umpire, no, absolutely
the umpire
not.
Saying, you know, don't do this, stop doing that, da da da. Like think about next week. You don't want to get a fine. Like don't.
People, you know, you're not a teacher. That's the coach's job.
People, these grown men, these professional athletes are making their own choices. So if they do that, then so be it. But
if anything, you sort of want to encourage that sort of, so you get a bit more. I love the biffs on the weekend, by the way. I was right around. It just brought me back. It just brings you back to genuine finals footy. Before the round started, I was concerned about will this feel like finals? And that is a massive tick. I thought, obviously the crowds help immensely, but I just felt like we were back in the early thousands sort of thing, just really going back to those roots. And the umpiring, I thought, I mean, I know what you're saying, that there are a few decisions where you're like, all right, you got to let those go, like the double 50s, that sort of stuff. But I thought from a general play point of view, I thought a lot of things were let go. Which I thought was good, and I hope that they don't get told that specifically, because that means you could be doing that all year.
That's the point, isn't it? Yeah.
There's also the argument though. Every time we've brought this up about we've thought that they've let it go, it's also happened to be when two really good teams are playing each other. So whether or not the element is that you've got genuinely good football teams going up against genuinely good football teams, and that sort of in itself makes for a better viewing. So you actually, once the umpiring is, you know, second fiddle to that, you're not concerned about it. So it shines more of a spotlight on it. Whereas if Carlton and Essendon are playing each other and it's a shit game, we're thinking about the umpiring and stuff like that.
There's those moments that, you know, you're frustrated already and then that builds up your frustration sort of thing. It's a very good point. It's a good point. I tell you, we spoke about how, you know, like, epic the final series, the first finals week was. And I think that, like, you know, for all the state of the game conversations and for all, you know, like, this year's got an asterisk, this, that, the other, like, it just doesn't. Like,
it doesn't. As someone whose team did not make the finals, I disagree with that. It absolutely means something.
And, it's just, like, it almost, I mean, the grand final will be interesting. I mean, not that I've went to a couple of grand finals when I was selling footy records. That's as close to a grand final attendance as I've ever been.
You've just lived and breathed football your entire life, haven't you?
Yeah. I was there for the drawn grand final for the end of that. That was cool. The grand final being interstate, I don't think really changes too much, especially from my viewing perspective, because I've always watched it on television. Like, it's never really been something that I've had to go to and attend. Like, obviously for whoever's fans it is, like, it'll be a little bit different. But, like, there's certainly, like, just no asterisks, is there? There's no, like, like nothing about the weekend's footy didn't feel right. Like it was,
it was back to pre-COVID feeling. Like it was just like the energy was amazing. And for Friday night, watching that game up at the Gabba, when it just like at the end of that game, I just thought, yeah, Gabba's perfect for the granny. Like this is awesome. Like I totally get it now. But then Saturday night, Perth to me, just that little bit extra was like, hold my beer. We've got the light show. We've got an absolute pristine ground. Like it's a beautiful, beautiful place. The Optus Stadium. Not saying I like it should have been there because I don't really care. I think both are good venues. But I don't know. I would love to go to a derby in Perth. I reckon that would be insane.
Yeah, the stadium over there is like full next level.
Yeah.
And like the whole setup around the, like, I went to a Big Bash game there last summer and like so good. Like the whole setup around Optus Stadium is just like another level.
Yeah. It's like the person who built it was just like someone who was just lived and breathed like live sport. You just know they got that feeling.
Like the Southern Hemisphere's biggest pub is on the concourse. Like it's grass. It's so good. The whole.
I didn't even know that. But
yeah, it's like.
That's awesome.
The Camfield is one of the great establishments of all time. and it's like this monstrous pub that's like, you know, like akin to where Jolimont Station is at the MCG.
Yeah.
Imagine having the world's or the Southern Hemisphere's biggest pub there.
Like right there.
Pre-game, post-game.
Yeah.
It's like.
The Pullman Hotel thinking, hang on a minute, we're pretty good. We're just a doorstep from the Jolimont Station. Yeah.
You got to cross the
just dangerous. You can't be crossing tracks.
and yeah, I mean, but even Thursday night when we saw the Never Tear Us Apart from the Port Adelaide,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the networks turned up the audio on the crowds because why not? But it made a better atmosphere and to hear the genuine noise, I think. Look, it was fantastic. And
one absolute knock on the Gabba though was one of those goal reviews that they had. It was dead set from like a Nokia 3210 from the other side of the ground. So I mean, could you imagine? Like, I this is sounds so journalistic and like let's turn this into a story that's non-existent. You could imagine like, you know, 2 points in a granny and then there's some controversial call. I think it's touched. They look at the footage and it's inconclusive because the footage sucks and not because it's genuinely inconclusive. Like that would be,
You just got to wonder. And speaking of some journalistic
matters, I don't know where you're going with this. Yeah. Weren't going to talk about it, but
because talking about it is to fall for it.
Yes, correct. And that's talk about it.
But I want to talk about it because I want to let people know that's what it is. So,
yes,
stop retweeting Kane Corns. Stop tweeting him. I actually like some of his work. I think that he's got the game figured out, right? I think big time. I think that post-retirement we're going to have a Kane and Dusty show, Kane and Danger show, sorry, we've spoken about that. Tex Walker will be on it. Like we're being played for fools in that sense. They've looked at what works in the US sports media, right? And this is what I wanted to play you, right? I wanted to play you something. And I mean, this has been around for a while. So, you know, again, you're a big basketball fan. I'm sure you've probably seen this, whatever, but I've seen this a couple of times and it always flies around the group messages and stuff. And like, this is what Kane Corns is going for, right? He wants this and this is what people are giving him.
Would you rather have taking it, Iggy or Curry?
Of everyone on Golden State, open shot, fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth, you better hit it. I want Iguodala.
It's like the greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah. Like,
or Iggy. Like,
he's because, you know what, then when like, so the Sunday morning footy show were able to use the headline of, and Kane Corns was able to retweet it last night and say like, tune in for my apology tomorrow. And then a million people watch it. And then a million people pile into
100%.
Read all the stuff. Like he doesn't care. Like the problem
no,
is
he doesn't.
That he's not going to take anyone's feedback on board.
No,
he's
that's
past
right.
that point.
And
he
a great,
probably,
a,
you know,
a good example of that. His apology was they because he knows Collingwood are playing again next week, so it means there's more news cycle to come. He said, they were great and I apologise to all of them. Should have left it at that, but it was dot, dot, dot. But geez, they're cocky. Settle down. You haven't won a premiership yet. So it's just like, all right, I apologise, but I'll keep going because I know it's working.
Just continue to whip them up. And he knows that the odds are stacked against them to win a flag. That's the other thing. So at some stage they're going to like...
They may lose and he looks like he was...
And then he'll say, you know, I hope you enjoyed your win, but there's another year where you should have been top four. And then he'll just start that narrative and whip them all
in. Yeah. Jake, have you heard of the term... I'm glad you brought this up. Have you heard of the term KFAB? Or kayfabe.
Yeah, kayfabe. WWE sort of set
up. WWE. There is went in a rabbit hole one night about kayfabe and what it means for the world, like not just wrestling. So for those who don't know, it's in professional wrestling. It's like a portrayal of staged events in the industry perceived as real or true, specifically the portrayal of competition, rivalries, the relationship between participants as being genuine and not staged.
Yeah, it's like blurring the lines between real and like when the wrestler, like from I've watched a lot of wrestling in my time, like, you know, when you're not sure if they're being themselves. So when a wrestler goes to Twitter and bags someone else, it's like, are they being themselves or are they being the character? And it blurs those lines.
Correct. So that has escaped WWE and it's actually in everyday life. There's actually a really, really good video I watched on it. And I truly believe Kane Corns falls into this category of, like, as you said, it's not when it's his quote opinions, a lot of the time it's not what he truly is thinking. It is what will get more clicks and more views. And like, we've known about this in journalism for a long time, but it goes all the way down to even the presidency of the United States. Donald Trump has been accused of kayfabe, of not really actually like having this opinion. This is just what works.
What I love about your most recent statement is that you just had Kane Corns above the president of the United States when you said it also goes all the way down to the president of the United States.
Did I say all the way down?
Yeah. Kane Corns is the doyen of kayfabe.
Well, that's what's real and what's true in my reality is Kane Corns is bigger news to me than Donald Trump.
Which is probably a smart way to live, in fairness. but yeah, look, it's just, I think that especially in the day and age of social media, it's always like, it's interesting to question how much is planned and how much is, you know, like pre-organized and stuff like that, because some of the stuff you see, I mean, not just in the AFL world, sort of moving wider. And as you mentioned, Donald Trump is just like almost too far-fetched to be true. And like no person could actually be like that. And there has to be some sort of like political agenda. And maybe Max Kellerman's right. Maybe the Martians do have the death ray pointed at Earth and, you know, like we're just playing out their fantasy for them. And if we need a basketball to take the shot from Golden State's roster, it's Tony Iguodala.
Every day of the week, he's averaging 2 points in the NBA playoffs. So
yeah, but just remember, Ben, he's LeBron's kryptonite.
Yeah. How's that going for you, Iggy? But even further to that point, I actually tweeted something the other day that caught my eye, and it was like it was about the talking about Adam Saad, whether he's leaving Essendon or not. And I get it. Like this happens every year to bigger clubs, and particularly Essendon for some reason. It must be because the fans get rolled up a bit easier. And one day Tom Brown's tweeting that, it sounds like he's staying next day. I'm pretty certain he's leaving. But something caught my eye. I was on Triple M, and it was a photo of the story was about Adam Saad and about him getting lured to Carlton. And it's an actual split photo of Adam Saad and Tom Brown, both exactly the same size in the picture. And to me, I just thought this is nonsense. Like this is absolute but the tweet was something along the lines of, you know, like Tom Brown being the same size of Adam Saad, is this more about the story or who's breaking it nowadays? Like that's just sort of, and we get, actually, you know what's funny, about 10 minutes ago, Jake, you said let's not get into it. And here we are. You just get sucked in. Why is it? It's just what works.
It's too easy. It's too easy.
I get sucked in.
It's just what life is, isn't it? I mean, talking about Adam Saad is that he's a really good player. And
absolutely.
I'd like him to come to Carlton. I don't think it's exactly what Carlton need. But, you know, he certainly wouldn't, you know, like wouldn't hurt.
I think it all depends on how you guys, like how you go otherwise for the ones that you do need. If they fall through, well, would you go?
I just think that there's probably not that many more out there now. I think that, you know, like, I mean, all reports is Ollie Wine stays. You know, Zach Merritt would be the one I go after from an Essendon point of view, but I know he's contracted next
year. Stay away from Merritt, all right?
Well, I mean, all the reports are at the moment that he's pretty unhappy and those sort of things. So it's like, do you wait until free agency or do you get an actual answer from someone and then trade him? But I think Saad would be really good in any team because he's a run and carry, and he's a beautiful user. But I'm to the point now where I'm like, just get him, because it'd be so piss funny to for him to leave Essendon and come to Carlton. Like, I don't think that Carlton got a lot of half backs, and you know, like, we need more inside mids, no doubt about that. But
to take
a 25-year-old in
off
in
his your prime,
from Essendon would just be like that's, and all the tweets.
Who, by the way, have been giving it to Carlton the last few years about getting Dylan Shear and like, you know, these other guys who you've been linked to, or you, or Carlton have been linked to as well. That's just, it's just, it is a bit of fun. But at the same, on the same side of the coin, Andrew Phillips is the only deal that's been done between Carlton and Essendon since like the 70s. So it's like, we don't do big deals with each other. And that's also what makes it a great rivalry.
Well, that's like the whole Dale Thomas Carlton Collingwood thing. Like, it was just very, it's very strange for, I think, those teams to deal. I know he was a free agent, but for those teams to deal and sort of, And I mean, it's also a lot, I guess a lot of players don't, you know, they're always on very similar spectrums. I think those teams, like, they're very similar. Like, I mean, Saad moved from the Gold Coast to Essendon to obviously come back to Melbourne, but to play for a big club. And like Lynch did with Richmond, those sort of things, and Williams is sort of doing for Carlton as well. Like, so there was always that element, I guess, that when you're playing for the big club, you know, you're often not wanting for too much, I think. And and so there is that sort of element to it. But yeah, it's I've saved a whole lot of tweets that I'll contemplate writing back to if Saad comes. Not writing back, they haven't tweeted me.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
There's a few tweets that I would love to go back and there's some Carlton ones too, because people are like, you know, Saad's over the line, this is happening, rah-rah. And then like it's just a nuffy warfare pretty much. Like people going, well, no, I've heard Saad staying, and like an Essendon person going back at a Carlton person, and it's like I've seen like videos and stuff, and there's just a couple I just wouldn't mind retweeting and just giving a ha-ha. Yeah. Like,
meanwhile, Tom Brown's sitting there looking at it all unfolding, just going, excellent.
I exactly made all what of this up.
I haven't left my couch today.
Incredible.
But Jake, we obviously, let's not talk trades and stuff like that. We've got a bit of footage to get into. What do you reckon?
I reckon we have. It would be remiss of us not to dive in.
Yeah, well, simple yes would have also been fantastic. But let's get into it.
Sensational. There's only one word to describe the four games on the weekend. Sensational.
Well, this is hot off the press, Jake. We're just actually, you can run with it, because I'm not actually excited about this at all.
Well, I mean, we have mentioned earlier in the show, that's the thing that, you know, we have sort of pieced this episode together over a few days. And I did mention, and we did speak about the potential of Adam Saad moving, Ben. Obviously, it sort of drove a bit of a wedge between us. You know, you being the devout bomber and myself, you know, being the Carlton man. And there was all sorts of, you know, various little rumours going around about a whole range of different contracts, and he was staying, he was going, he was, you know, doing all these things. There was a car involved at one stage. So, you know how the AFL landscape can change. And last week he was staying and then he's going. And so as we prepare to record another segment of this show, the news is broken that your man, Adam Saad, is about to become my man, Adam Saad, and he wants to join the Blues, Benny.
Well, let's just hold the phone. He's not about to become your man, Adam Saad. You obviously, the both of us know you've got to get through the big Dodds first, big Adrian Dodoro.
Oh, the big fella. Jeez. He's standing with his pockets out, won't he, by the end of all this?
Huge, huge news regardless. Even if Dodoro is hard to deal with, which he notoriously is, it's massive news that Adam Saad wants to go. I think that's, at the end of the day, massive news. And I don't – look – I'm not the list manager or any of that. I'm not an expert to do with anything between you and I, Jake. Don't let anyone else know
hey,
that.
Hey. NBA same game multis. We know your capabilities.
Gamble responsibly. This is only just broken like half an hour ago, by the way, from us jumping on here. I've been more and more coming around to the idea of Essendon need to get serious with themselves and whether or not, I don't like the word rebuild. I don't think we need a rebuild, but even just a miniature one.
Rebuild on the run.
On the run sort of thing, on the fly. If Adam Saad wants to go, he's still contracted, which is good. Hopefully, I believe you guys have seven.
No, he's not,
but I
contracted. Not contracted.
No, he's not.
But he's not a free agent.
But he's not a free agent. So you have to get a deal done.
Otherwise, he then walks into the preseason draft and then there's all that sort of aspect to it. But you would think that, you know, like it'll get to the point where, you know, you get a reasonable deal. You would think, you know, clubs usually get to that point. But
I hope we ask for something reasonable and Adrian Dodora doesn't listen to the podcast, but I'd be open to
not that we know of. I mean, we have no tracking based on the individuals, but
I'd be happy to get a deal done, because if he wants out, that's fine. Like it's disappointing. I love Adam Sard. I really have. You absolutely love him, Jake. Once he's the Blue, obviously, but. Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. Like if people want to go, it's a bit of a rock bottom thing at Essendon, and we got to be honest with ourselves. It's like, okay, we are on the brink of not being a big club, and depending on who you ask, they might say that's already the case. But hit the draft and get some early picks in the next couple of years, and be honest with the supporters.
Well, that's going to have to be the path they go down now. So if Danaher leaves, if Sard leaves, so assuming these trades are successful, you know, you probably acquire two more first round draft picks wherever they lie in that draft, and then, you know, they might have an eye on next year's draft. That might be the other thing, is that this year's draft, you know, is a bit all over the place with academy, and you know, there hasn't been an under-18s and all that sort of stuff. So maybe they look to build their draft hand for next year. I don't know, but that's also a whole lot of the unknown, and you don't know where clubs are going to finish and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how Essendon do it, because, you know, there's the rumours of Merritt, who's out of contract next year. You know, like, do they just have to go through, do a roll call and say, look, who wants to be here and who wants to hang around? Because you're right, it's a bit of a sliding doors moment, and it might be a good chance, because you do have some talent around there that you can bounce back a little bit quicker and rebuild on the run.
I say we get into this, you know, maybe on a later episode and get really dive into it. But for now, we've still got to keep talking. On our trade special, we've got to keep talking finals, though, Jakey.
We absolutely do, because we have got two of the most passionate and probably over the moon fans, I reckon, at the moment, whose clubs are coming off memorable elimination finals wins, and we are pumped to have them on. So let's get stuck in
the Magoos. Jakey, we've got huge guests coming up now. Massive, massive Collingwood supporter. He's internet sensation, man of the people, some would say. And running, also his name Jake, but running a better mo than our very own Jake, I reckon. But in any event, we've got Chock's chat on. Chock, how are you, mate?
G'day, lads. How you going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's certainly ours. It was a massive weekend for the Pies. A win that not a lot of people thought they'd obtain over in the West. How did you see the game?
Nah, certainly not. Obviously, being a massive Pies man myself, but did not rate us at all going in. I still managed to put some money on us, though, which was good. But, it was a good win, wasn't it?
Absolutely huge win. Now, I know we're here to talk about the footy and stuff, but I like the more theatrical sort of thing. What have you got some advice to give to Cancorns?
Yeah, I might use TJ's line and say Collingwood are going to make up the numbers in this one. They're not winning this game.
Okay. Oh, right. Sorry, what was that?
He said that they're making up
Collingwood
numbers.
Collingwood make up the numbers.
No one's listening to Kane.
Mitch really talks at inappropriate times, doesn't he? Hang on, let's just get this right. Collingwood is there to make up the numbers.
Unfortunately for them, just the travel, the quarantine, West Coast, the record in Perth is too much for them to overcome. As much as I've admired what the Pies have done this year, they're not winning this game.
Oh, Kane, I think that's probably the silliest thing you've actually said all year.
1 minute, 37 seconds later.
Well, I didn't learn, did I, Lordo? No, I didn't. But firstly, they were great, and I apologise to all of them. And what a performance it was, and a great footy club. But geez, they're cocky. I mean, settle down. You haven't won the premiership yet. Eddie's texting me. Jeremy Howe's tweeting. The footy club's tweeting me. Relax. There's three games to go before you win it. So just settle down. I got it wrong. But stop celebrating like you've won the premiership. There's still a long way to go on this season.
Now, I know we're here to talk about the footy and stuff, but I like the more theatrical sort of thing. What have you got some advice to give to Cancorns?
Oh, I don't know if you can keep it PG or not, but Cancorns, gee whiz, he fucked up there, didn't he?
Oh, he's one of our favourites, old mate Kano. So he's probably this bloke's probably the most curious case in the AFL, and that is Mason Cox, because he has now torn apart two finals and is seemingly unstoppable when he's on. From a Collingwood supporter's point of view, I know he sort of divides opinion right across the league. Are you on him or are you off him?
Look, I was actually talking to my brother about this. He's a massive Pies man as well. And I was saying, at what point is it going to stop being hilarious that Cox is doing well? Because he starts kicking goals and dominating and everyone just cracks up. Like, at what point do we say, all right, he's a genuine footballer and just let him play footy? Like, everyone just thinks it's so funny. And it still is. It's hilarious. But, I'm a fan of him. I reckon he's gross.
He certainly breaks the lines. And Bucks had that bold plan going in, obviously, with the two rucks, three if you include Mason Cox. Do you see that obviously worked in the end? Do you see that that happening again this weekend against the Catters, all three of them?
Yeah, I reckon it could work. I reckon, everyone's got their opinions and stuff, but I reckon Grundy's obviously been out a little bit of a form, but I reckon rest him forward. I don't know if he needs that rest on the bench and then has a burst in the middle, but I reckon rest him forward. He'll rest him on the bench for a little bit there. I reckon get him deep and see what happens, because got to try something with Grundy because, he's been out of form a bit lately. I don't know what's going on there. But.
So the Cats this weekend, they're staring down the barrel of straight sets, and we sort of spoke about a little bit earlier that it's always seemingly doom and gloom for the loser of the qualifying final. The Pies come in riding this huge wave of momentum and togetherness that they seem to be adopting a real us-against-the-world type mentality. We've got a good recent record against the Cats. How are you feeling about this weekend's fixture?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't confident going into the West Coast game, and we got up there. So I don't know. I think Cats haven't been playing too well, which probably goes in their favour, I reckon. They're probably due for a win, and it's always a good game in Cats and Geelong. So Cats and Pies. But I don't know. See how we go. It was tough against the Coast, but I reckon we can pull it off again. I reckon we can go all the way. This will probably be our toughest game, I reckon.
Huge game. I think you go in with some confidence against Geelong as well. Obviously, there's the playing in Perth is even harder, but you're on neutral territory at the Gabba Saturday night. Obviously, Cats facing the straight sets exit again. Do you go in with the same game style? Because on when you played West Coast, I think you guys played on 42% of the time in your front half, compared to an average of 24% during the year. So that was clearly a tactic going in. Do you continue going with that?
Yeah, I reckon. I don't reckon we try and change too much, especially as far as the lineup goes as well. Like, the gameplay works well, but just that lineup, I reckon we don't change anything at all. I mean, few players in the week said, some players struggled. They reckon Maine come in and he didn't do much, and I thought, you can't really drop Maney. I mean, it was his first game back, but he's the only other bloke. I was thinking maybe Travis Varko during finals, with plenty of finals experience. He might think about getting him back in the side. But, yeah, try not to change too much. Whatever worked against West Coast, we just do it again, I reckon.
Now, before we let you go, obviously huge Pies game this weekend, but it would be remiss of us not to ask a little bit more about you. So the amazing Instagram following that you've got, how did that sort of all come about, and did you ever think that it would blow up into what it is today?
Certainly not. I didn't think it would go this far. Not that I'm anyone special or anyone amazing just yet, but certainly didn't think all this would happen. Just sort of started being a bit of a dickhead, I suppose, for filming funny videos for me mates. And me mate actually started the page for me. So that's how it all started. And from there, I just sort of started doing some weird shit, and then a few of the Pies boys got around it, which was good for me. But it's good, man. It's a lot of fun. It's just something to do on the side, keep me busy during isolation, which certainly helps. But it's good fun, mate.
I love the deflection to the mates sort of thing. Yeah, my mates made me do it. That sort of setup. It sounds like if you're talking to someone on Tinder and you send that risky sort of message, and then you retract with that, that was one of my friends who did that. But it's worked, yeah. It's bloody hilarious. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Some of it I actually cringe at. Like, I hate the sound of my own voice. I'm sure a lot of people do. But, there's a little bit of variety on there. So one video I might not like, and then go, fuck it, next week I'll just try something else. Try something completely different. So, yeah, it goes. But, yeah, it's good fun, mate. Some people seem to enjoy it. I'm sure there's some people out there that don't enjoy it, but they good thing is they keep quiet. I haven't really got too much negativity back to me, so which is a good thing.
So you've obviously got a very loyal following. Have you been gotten to that point yet where you've been stopped in the street and blokes, shouting your beers and all those sorts of things, getting photos, or Have you entered that territory yet?
A little bit, yeah. It's at the moment, it's probably where it's taken off the most. We've been stuck in isolation, so it hasn't been able to happen. But early on, like before lockdown, it happened for the first time, and I just panicked and didn't know what to do. And I thought it was a prank. I thought someone was taking the piss out of me, you know. I thought it was a stitch up. But and I think I told these girls to piss off. I go, nada, it's a joke, and they were looking confused, and it was real. And then I just got real awkward, and then it's got like a really awkward photo with them. So still don't know how to handle that yet, but hopefully that gets a bit better.
Well, it's a massive yes from us at the Magoos, and if those girls have that photo somewhere, would love to see just that awkward, that first photo of that when you first got stopped in the street. I reckon once COVID's over with and we're allowed to have a beer, I reckon you won't be paying for too many this summer. So Chock, thanks heaps for coming on, mate. We really appreciate it. Hopefully the Pies can get it done this weekend.
Thanks heaps, lads. Thanks for having me. And yeah, go the Maggies.
The Magoos.
Can the Saints 3 points up? They get a win, and we get Maccas can't lose tonight. You little ripper.
Benny, another huge guest on the Magoos. Second time round for the Magoos too, which we don't usually get a lot of return guests. People don't usually show that much interest in it.
But it's an absolute, his arm.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure dialing in from the free Gold Coast. How good that must be. Is Spider Everett. Spider, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, you got to get it right. We're the home of AFL. We are
of course.
Of AFL here in beautiful one day, perfect the next. We've got some of the great things, and now we've got the greatest game. So it's fantastic. It's footy's going off.
Well, that sounded almost rehearsed, and you don't need to when you're living on the Gold Coast. We know that is just the place to be right now. But
and it's probably sunny there too.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be the interesting thing. How many, so many teams have been here in June, July. It's been beautiful weather, no rain, 26, 27 degrees. I'll be actually surprised if you could field a side out of Victoria next year. They'll all want to play up here.
Yeah. Absolutely. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But we are not here to talk about the Gold Coast,
yes,
the Suns or the place. We're here to talk about your Saners. Massive, massive win on the weekend. Taking on the Doggies. How'd you see it?
Yeah, it was huge. It was awesome. Went up there to the Gabba, and I don't want to rub it in, but they had 20,000 people who were allowed to go to the game, and the AFL warned for masks and said people just do the right thing. There was a couple of masks there, but as soon as the footy and the balls bounced, and people and their emotions keep going, and it gets high. So no, it was fantastic to see. Obviously, it was a really good first half. The Saints kicked away, ended up being nearly 5 goals in front, and then the last quarter faded away a little bit, but it doesn't matter this time of year. And my young fella said, gee, will Brett Ratten go off at him? And I said, mate, all you've got to do this time of the year is win. Learn from it, but as long as you win, doesn't matter if it's by 1 point or 10 goals, you're still alive, and that's all that counts.
Yep. How were the nerves in those last few minutes? Because I was watching as a neutral, and I started to get the jitters. You could see the Bulldogs starting to build. And then when it got to under a goal, I thought, oh, my goodness, here we go again sort of thing.
I know, and it's hard because you've got to watch it. You want to watch it live, but then you've got to keep an eye on the social media, because they have a clock that runs down so you can see how much time's left, because you don't know. At a ground, and have we got 2 minutes? Have we got 1 minute? We got 40 seconds, and it's hard to play out. But when that final siren went, it was just great to see thousands of Saner supporters who are up here to be able to enjoy a finals win.
Absolutely, I for one am on the Saners bandwagon here on in. But I'm not going to lie, though. Previously, it was the Dogs, but
no, that's okay. The Dogs aren't alive anymore, so you've got to follow somewhere.
That's exactly right. I've got to keep watching it. But how did you? So from from a team perspective, individuals, just running through a couple of stats. You had Geary, King, Membry, and Ryder all 2 goals each, which is an awesome spread of goal kickers. And then what really surprised me was the disposal spread. So you had like Dougal Howard had 20, and then you had another 16 others who had between 10 and 19. I mean, that, how do you see that in terms of just your sort of middle class, if you will, just absolutely rising up?
And that's, and I think that's been the main thing about St Kilda, is the fact that it's not left to one. As you say, King took some magnificent marks down there in the four line, and he's always a presence, and, you know, he was a target. But, you know, what they're able to do, they're able to get Caleb Daniels back to full back and have a one out on him. And when you know, the smallest bloke in the AFL onto some of these pretty good marking players, I think you end up having three or four marks on him in the first half, which was a good strategy by the Saints because they just dragged him to the deepest part of the ground. So, you know, there's some really good strategy that way. When you watch, Dan Hannelbury and these blokes, Jones, come in and just, their running power and just the explosiveness off down our back was what I really enjoyed. You know, you can go through some of the individuals and, you know, unfortunately with Carlisle, and now you look at Paddy Ryder with the injuries, I'm sure we'll get to that. But, just a really good even spread across the ground and you know, great thing for Paddy Ryder to actually be in the ruck. And we knew, you know, they had a really young ruckman, is to try and exploit him, and that was by going forward and kicking a couple of goals on him. So I think the Saints did their game plan pretty well, and it paid off.
Yeah, we touched on Paddy Ryder there. Now, you missed the 1997 grand final due to injury. And we saw how emotional Paddy Ryder was on the weekend after doing that hamstring. What sort of advice, what sort of counsel could you provide for him during this time? He was obviously very emotional on the weekend.
Yeah, really, really hard. And you want him to continue and go all the way, you know. So Paddy's got to sit out, see him against Richmond this week and then maybe against Brisbane and hopefully in the big one. And it'll just get harder and harder each week, because not only does it get harder and harder, your injury gets better and better. So actually by grand final day, I was training, but I knew if I got another big knock that it could pop my collarbone as well. Paddy Ryder will be the same. He'll be still probably running around grand final day, but he won't be able to, you know, play. So the hardest thing is for him, he had to make a choice to go stay in the hub or go outside the hub. So not being around the boys, it's going to be hard, because it's going to be probably harder if they do continue to get through. I was able to go to training. I was able to do a lot of the media. So, you know, the football shows, the lead up media, because all the boys could concentrate then. So I kind of played my role off the field and, the boys did it on the field. So for Paddy back in Melbourne, I think he's still going to be involved. And especially if, the Saints do get over the line against Richmond, the more you can be involved, the more be with it, as hard as it is. You don't win a grand final, you know, that last weekend in September or October this year, or the 4 weeks leading in. It's the massive build-up, the commitment they've given. And, you know, I feel really bad for Paddy as well, because he's had a really, really good year. He's had a really good year. And a lot of people probably didn't rate him when he coming, you know, from Port Adelaide. You're thinking, you know, you can play a lot over there, and then comes in and just fitted in beautifully. So a real tough one for him.
It is, yeah, absolutely. There's no other way to put it other than it is tough. You did speak earlier as well about, you know, obviously trying to get that forward pressure or that sort of game style, bringing Caleb Daniel back to the goal square, that sort of thing. Do you think we'll see similar things this weekend against the Tigers? Do you think we'll see maybe Geary go to a Vlachowicz sort of thing in a similar type setup?
I was thinking about this, and I thought, how do you kind of try and combat the Tigers? But I think you'll take a lot out of the Brisbane game. Look, that if you can match them with their pressure and face up to them and continue to give, and I think Richmond now, it's so hard because they've been so good for such a long period of time. But I think losing last week just gives the St Kilda Footy Club or the players just that bit of confidence that they can be beaten. And how are they going to be beaten? So I think you'll see a lot of those individual one-on-ones, but at the same time, I think the most important thing, St Kilda's got to stick to what they know best, and that is their pressure around the footy. And when they get it, they've just got to get it going forward, because we saw in the last couple of minutes of the Bulldogs, or the last 10 minutes, if they slow it down and start going back into their shell a bit, they've got absolutely no hope. Sides will run over them. So they've really got to just consider what they need to do. And one of that main one is beat Richmond at the pressure, and then run.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you'd be going to Metricon Stadium to watch the Saints play in a final. It just seems so ridiculous. And I mean, we know all the things that 2020's thrown at us, but Richmond, St Kilda on the Gold Coast, for as you touched on, for all those Saints fans up there, probably never in their wildest dreams. They've got the Saints up there in their, you know, what is now probably the most livable city in the world with the weather and the footy and all those fun things. Could you ever imagine the Saints playing up there and being in the situation you are?
No, you can never imagine it, and you'll never get it again either. Let's be totally honest. If there are going to be any finals, the Gold Coast Suns are going to be in it. Are they going to play against St Kilda? But to have, you know, as you say, Richmond, who've got a massive database, no matter what, I mean, you know, supporter base wherever they go around the country. So it was always going to be a big, big one. But just to have the spotlight on the Gold Coast, Metricon Stadium, we know there's been a lot of talk around the Gold Coast Suns for the last 10 years. Should they have been at Tasmania? The Gold Coast don't deserve a second team. There's been so much talked about. And now for, you know, Southeast Queensland to really host the AFL and prove that, you know, we are a vital part of the AFL. And then, you know, 3/4 of people who live on the Gold Coast do follow AFL. They've lived in Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia. So they are passionate football people. So to be able to have so much footy, and now I'm really happy that they decided to put a final at Metricon Stadium, because what they've been able to do in 40-odd games at Metricon, when you normally get 8 over, you know, half a season, it's been remarkable. So they definitely deserve it. We're absolutely loving it. You know, the kids and the fans, and, you know, just driving to the footy and seeing scarves out the window and flags out the window and seeing those, you know, thousands and thousands of people walk through the gates where you'd normally only see pretty much coming over, you know, the bridge at the MCG. You don't see that on the Gold Coast. So to be able to see it here and see the passion of people behind the footy, it's been wonderful. It's been fantastic.
That's so awesome. There's certainly a vibe going up at the Gold Coast. And so you obviously got Metricon. Brisbane are obviously doing quite well. They're into a prelim. What about you speak about this other team that you're talking about. How do you see their season this year? And do you think the Suns will improve again next season?
Yeah, really looking forward to the Suns. Yeah, I think they did a really good job. You know, when you're looking at Sam Collins, who wins their best and fairest, he plays down back, and you got, you know, King up forward, you got a good midfield. And I think the best thing about the Gold Coast Suns this year is the fact that they signed 38 of their players already before the season had finished. And, you know, when you look through all the sides of Port Adelaide who have got, you know, a couple of former Suns players, Richmond, you know, last time they played Richmond had more Suns, you know, original Suns players than the Suns had. So, you know, Stewie Jew's been able to keep them together. So if they're able to do that for another 4 or 5 years, I think they'll make some massive inroads. So, you know, and this too, with so much, you know, AFL on the Gold Coast, is only going to strengthen the game here and strengthen the love and the commitment towards the Gold Coast Suns with all their juniors. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win. The Gold Coast Suns, yeah, they're not playing finals, but I tell you what, they're winning a lot of fans off the back of, you know, games like this Friday night, Metricon with the Saints and Richmond.
Fantastic to hear. Hey, Spider, thank you very much again for all your time to the Magoos. It's been great to have you on again. Good luck for the Saints this weekend, and it's fantastic to hear that footy up there is going so well, and we hope it's got a massive future up there in Queensland. So thank you once again. Good luck, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for your boys on the weekend.
No worries. I'll speak to you in 3 weeks, a couple of days before the training.
Yes, lock it in. Lock it in.
Hold you to that.
The Magoos.
Benny, a couple of great guests there. Chocks Chat talking all things pies, which we know will be very popular out there in the social media world. So thank you to him for giving up his time. And look, he's probably one of our very, very favourites now, is Spider Everett. Great to have him on. Pre-season, we were talking all things footy and then how things were situated on the Gold Coast. And now his former mob, the Saints, are up there and they've taken that state by storm, and the Suns are doing good things as well. So
furthermore, if there's any time to get on the Saints bandwagon, it's because he's just locked himself in for another Magoos appearance if they make the granny.
Yeah. So we should all be
obligated.
I don't think there's any losers if they beat Richmond either. I mean, obviously, except for Richmond, but would suggest that most non-Richmond fans will be going for St Kilda this weekend. So happy to ride that one home because we'd love to have him back on the show. He's an absolute legend. So thank you to those two guys for getting involved. Thank you as well, Ben. You're the unheralded hero of this show. Obviously, I'm the face of it and you're the guy who does... Sorry, I couldn't get through that.
Finish your sentence, Jake.
No, you're doing some amazing work and all the lovely videos we see on Instagram, you put in a lot of work to that. So make sure you buy Ben a beer if you ever see him again, if we're ever allowed out of lockdown. Another big week coming up. Ben, just a couple of tips from yourself. Geelong, Collingwood, Friday night. Who you got?
I'm going the Pies, and it's on Saturday night, actually.
Is it really? Do I have
the Yeah, Saturday way? Night. You're going the other way around, but I'm going to go the Pies. I think Catter's in straights. Chris Scott to blow a gasket. But I think the Pies, they have some kind of belief there. I reckon they really believe that, Nate, that they think at least that they can go pretty far, which I'm going to back them to win on Saturday night.
I'm not. I think the Cats will win.
Which is fair also.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. I just think, we do overreact to the non-winning qualifying finals teams. We sort of start to stress about them. There's definitely some cracks, but yeah, I think the Collingwood might have played their grand final last week. But definitely be a close one. A close one. And then the other game, of course, Richmond St Kilda. It'd feel bad to not tip the Saints now, wouldn't it, after we've just had Spider on and we know the passion that's there up in that state. But I think that, I mean, I know Brisbane played very well to beat Richmond, but they're very hard to beat and they don't lose two games in a row too often.
Without
some key personnel, it's going to be tough. I'm happy to help you believe in them.
It will be tough.
I think that if I'm tipping with my head, that it's probably going to be a Richmond win.
I tend to agree. I'm a romantic tip up, but also quite realistic. But
now so which one are you?
Oh, I'm going to let you decide. I'm going to flip the coin. No, I'm going to have to back you on that and say the Tigers. They're just, I mean, they're the reigning premiers for a reason.
It's not what we want to happen. It's what we think will happen.
What we think is Richmond, but go the Saints.
Yeah, go the Saints. Okay, Ben, another great episode. Thanks to everyone who's been getting around the show on the socials as well. We've seen a bit of an uptake in that, so thank you very much. Like, share, subscribe, all the good stuff. Follow us, give us a shout out. We'll shout you right back. Enjoy this weekend of footy, and we'll be back for prelim final weekend next week.
Bye.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.